final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. The reports continue to indicate that climate change is happening faster than we thought, and we need to cut back on fossil fuel emissions more sharply than we've done so far. The Ashland Youth for Electrification campaign is working to get the city of Ashland to commit to an all-electric future sooner, not later. Let's catch up on what's happened so far and where things stand. We have two guests with us from Rogue Climate, which is leading up this effort. Jess Grady Benson is the organizing director. Welcome, Jess.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. And Susie Garcia is with us as well, the Rogue Valley Coordinator for Rogue Climate. Welcome, Susie.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you both here. So take us through the steps so far. It looks like you presented the natural gas ordinance to the Ashland City Council. Is that right? And I'm not sure who wants
Absolutely.
To take the first.
Absolutely. So back earlier this year, youth leading the Rogue Climate Action Team launched officially the Ashland Youth for Electrification campaign, which they've been working on for a while, building off of the work they've done to help pass the Climate and Energy Action Plan back in 2017. So they really wanted to see Ashland be held accountable to the climate goals that it set many years ago and brought forward this possible ordinance to transition new buildings off of gas and fossil fuels in Ashland. And since then, they're continuing to work on that campaign and advocating for an emission standard which would limit the amount of polluting fossil fuel emissions permitted in new residential construction, so only in new homes. And we're making great progress so far.
Homes only, or would there be businesses involved too?
At this stage, we're really focusing on new homes only because we know that the health impacts associated with gas and fossil fuel appliances in our homes contribute to higher rates of childhood asthma, blood cancers, and other respiratory diseases. And so the benefit for communities in the Rogue Valley is exponential to transition away from gas appliances and towards efficient electric appliances that will also save folks money on their utility bills.
Does the ordinance as presented to the council provide for any exceptions like backup heat sources in case of power failure or anything like that?
That's a really great question. So this is really an opportunity for community members to share with the City of Ashland what they would like to see in this policy. City staff is drafting the policy right now based on really great community input that came out of two stakeholder engagement sessions this fall, and they're still accepting written comments. So we really encourage folks to share what you'd like to see in this policy, what exceptions are important to you, what impacts to the community are really important to you. And you can send a comment to them if you go to rogueclimate.org, and there's a button to click right there.
All right, so I was going to ask you about that. They are still taking comments because the engagement sessions were in October, correct?
That's correct. And I'll kick it over to Susie to see if you'd like to share more about that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so there were two engagement sessions that happened in October, and we filled the room both times. So there's been a really positive response, and there is still time to submit testimony. We encourage you to do it as soon as possible, as this ordinance is in the middle of being drafted. So being able to submit that comment to the city is essential right now.
And so, Susie, how much reception have you gotten from the city thus far? I mean, obviously they held the listening sessions and all that, but how would you characterize the overall reception among city council and or staff? I don't know if they differ in how they approach this, but to this idea.
Yeah, well, the Ashland Climate and Environment Policy Advisor Committee, yes, it is a mouthful, short for CPAC, has allotted time to work on this drafted ordinance. And so that speaks to their commitment. And we also have two youths, Piper and Kara, who have joined that specific committee. And they've been working pretty closely together. The fact that they have allotted time to really dive in, I think, speaks to how receptive they've been.
We are talking about the Ashland Youth for Electrification campaign with a couple of people from Rogue Climate. Susie Garcia is the Rogue Valley Coordinator. Jess Grady Benson, the Organizing Director. You can take a part in the conversation with your questions or comments by email to jx@jeffnet.org. Susie, I do notice that the city's Climate Energy Action Plan is out. The top of the list of strategic initiatives is to transition to cleaner energy. I mean, if you're pushing this ordinance, do you feel like enough has been done thus far to make that strategic initiative become real?
Yes, absolutely. There has been a lot of positive response, and this policy is an important step for the city to improve indoor air quality and public health, increase energy affordability, and address the climate crisis. So there's really no time to wait to pass this common sense policy.
Jess, in addition to the events in October to gather input that we talked about, you held some other events on your own at Rogue Climate and with the Youth for Electrification campaign to demonstrate support. Talk about those and what you perceive in the community reception to the proposal.
Absolutely. So youth organizers with the campaign and with the Rogue Climate Action Team started off, kicking off the campaign publicly with over 400 students walking out of Ashland High School back in March. That was a really powerful beginning to the public face of this campaign, and we had hundreds of community members joining that rally to celebrate the launch of the campaign and support these important next steps for Ashland. And since then, we've held multiple other opportunities for community members to come together to learn about the possible policies and also to take action in support. So we've seen over 100 folks commit, submit testimony over time, whether through actual CPAC meetings or through the public engagement sessions this fall. And we've had hundreds gather together to take action to show their support. And what we're really hearing is that people are ready for this kind of action. The Climate and Energy Action Plan passed in 2017 was a deeply engaging community process that set really important goals that Ashland has not followed through on entirely yet. So it's really important to hold Ashland accountable to meeting these goals, and people are ready to see common sense action like this emissions standard.
So what happens now from your own perception of comment deadlines, if there are any, and things like that? What do you see the timeline to be from here, Jess?
Our hope is that the Climate and Environment Policy Advisory Committee, CPAC, will host a long meeting in January to give folks more opportunity to give comment and also to look at the draft policy that city staff is working on. So we're really trying to support the city to continue on that timeline. From there, that committee would vote whether to pass a policy forward to City Council, and then we would have two readings and a vote at City Council as well. So those are all really important opportunities for community members to share what they would like to see in this policy, help shape it to be something that will really benefit community health, climate action, and affordability. And it's also a really important time for us all to show the support to the city to really move this forward.
Jess, has there been any disruption to the process on the Youth for Electrification campaign from the sudden departure of Ashland City Manager?
Well, that is a new wrinkle in the timeline. We're really hopeful that working with this new city manager will be a really positive experience. We've had a really great experience so far collaborating directly with city staff, and we feel the commitment to moving forward meaningful climate action in a thoughtful way. And we hope that this doesn't slow down the process too much, because community members and especially youth are really pushing for urgent action, because we're continuing to see climate impacts in Ashland, and there's really no time to wait.
We're talking about the Ashland Youth for Electrification campaign and where things stand with the efforts to convince the city of Ashland to ban fossil fuel hookups to new homes built in the city. Jess Grady Benson is organizing director at Rogue Climate. Susie Garcia is Rogue Valley coordinator at Rogue Climate. Susie, any concerns about the trajectory from here? I mean, for example, we had the city of Eugene announce a no gas and new buildings ordinance and then swiftly repealed it earlier this year.
Well, we have some really strong momentum going here in Ashland. And then just noting that the Climate and Clean Air Ordinance is an emissions-based standard. So Ashland really has the opportunity to be a leader in climate action by being the first in the country to pass an emissions standard as a way to lessen our reliance on fossil fuels.
If you get Ashland to go here, do you have a next target? Maybe a bigger city like Medford, which is, what, three times the size plus of Ashland, nearly four?
Not sure if I'm supposed to say this on air, but we do have community members in other cities reaching out actually about being next. I think the Rogue Valley as a whole is ready, and more to come. So stay tuned.
Right. So in Ashland's case in particular, is it a bit easier to do partly because of the, you know, Ashland's a fairly liberal city. I think it's a fair perception. And but also that the city has made climate action plans. And so you're essentially saying, OK, well, then do this as part of that plan.
Yes. I'm also noting that the city of Ashland has a different electric companies, and it does not rely on Pacific Power. And we are in a position where we are able to support the city in that way. And yes, Ashland is definitely ready.
That's a great point to bring up, though, Susie, with the fact that that, you know, outside of Ashland, you not only get the city involved, you get the power company involved. It seems like Pacific Power would be like, yes, let's go.
That is the hope.
Mm-hmm. So, Jess, give the overall view of your effort, because we talked about the situation in Eugene. Efforts like what the city council did there seem to produce backlashes like the city council got in Eugene. And we certainly continue to hear statements from public figures that the other needs of the world are too great right now to focus on climate change as a top item.
Well, what we're actually seeing is that year after year, the climate impacts coming to the Rogue Valley are getting more intense and more frequent. And we know that climate change impacts everyone in our communities, but it really impacts communities of color, Black, Indigenous, and other communities of color, as well as low-income communities, first and worst. And so it is really our responsibility across the state and in Ashland as a community has committed to climate action to really move forward on those goals, because there's so many ways that climate change intersects with every other issue our communities are facing. And we really see this as one piece of the puzzle. This climate and clean air ordinance, which is an emission standard just for new homes, is truly one step in the puzzle. And it's essential that we see policies like this move forward so that we can continue to take more and more meaningful action to really move forward, building a resilient future where we can trust that our youth are going to have access to clean air and a livable community.
And is there any an additional component to the Youth for Electrification campaign beyond getting homes electrified, new homes electric only? I mean, is there any vehicle component or anything else where you're trying to reduce emissions further?
This emission standard for new homes is what we're really focused on at this point, but we see this as a huge opening to make room for new policy that could follow, and that will really be up to the youth. This is their campaign, and so we'll see where it goes once we are able to pass this policy. But it's really going to take everyone in the community to help craft what this policy looks like and to show your support to make sure that this passes as urgently as possible. So please make sure to go to roadclimate.org and submit your comment to the city and let them know why you support this and what you'd like to see.
And so, Jess, we mentioned the hopes for when things might get voted on next year, but then when would the ordinance take effect? When would the first homes need to be built that would have no gas component to them?
That's a really great question. Again, that will depend on what the policy looks like in detail that the city is drafting right now. So we are advocating for it to be an emission standard that sets a limit on the amount of harmful pollution that could be created by appliances in new homes. And from there, the details are really being worked out with the city. So we're curious to see as well and continue collaborating with the city of Ashland to make sure that all the details really work equitably for the community and are as clear to the public as possible.
Okay. Clearly more work ahead here as we hear more from the Ashland Youth for Electrification campaign and hear back from Ashland City Council and staff about plans to implement what the campaign is seeking. We're talking to two guests from Rogue Climate. Jess Grady-Benson is the organizing director. Thank you, Jess.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Susie Garcia is the Rogue Valley coordinator. Thank you, Susie.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take care. That will do it for today's exchange. We are online at jeffexchange.org. Our senior producer is Angela Decker of JPR News. Charlie Zimmerman's our assistant producer. Student assistant Zach Beagle's at the controls today. Maxwell and Terry Longshore composed our theme music. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks so much for listening. Please join us next time on The Exchange and have a great day.